877-288-1077 or go to volunteer at AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks.
This is full-time Catholic radio for Southeast Michigan, 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit.
The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Avoiding all known forms of psychobabble, even those not yet coined. 97.62% psychobabble free as measured by the EPA, the Environmental Psychological Association. Some might say, well, it's still 2%, and 2% of all the words you say, Dr. Ray, is a lot of words. Well, wait a minute. It's verbal clutter. If I say something like, I listened to a record from Sonny and Cher, well, this measurement system, which is not personal, it just kind of measures the words, hears Cher and thinks, well, that's psychobabble. Yeah. If I say, where are you calling from? The measurement system reads that as, where are you coming from? Which is a pure psychobabble phrase. So, in effect, we are 100% psychobabble free. Delighted to have you with me here on The Doctor Is In. The number to get onto the program, 877-573-7825, 877-57-EQUAL. Everybody gets a sticker because we're all equal here, 877-57-EQUAL. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi. Program comes to you 1 o'clock Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. My producer man, Andrew Krucek, and my call screamer, Joe. Sometimes they switch off and off. Off and off? Yeah, they're never really on answering the phone. Why would you call? Well, that's up to you. There's several reasons. Most common is somebody has a question about life and situations and people, faith, psychologically speaking, emotionally speaking, developmentally speaking, intellectually speaking. I'm a shrink. I'm trained in assessment, diagnosis, therapy, etc., etc. Although my training is really not what matters. What matters is the experience. That's where you really get to have a sense of what's going on. Now, here I can't do any of that professionally, but what I can do is educate and talk with you. People sometimes call in to offer help to someone else. If somebody has a particular problem, particular question, they will call and say, hey, here's my 2 cents, Dr. Ray, on top of your 47 cents. And sometimes people come in, they call in with generic questions. Not necessarily anything situation specific, person specific. It's just something that has perplexed them about psychology or its interaction with the faith. 877-573-7825. For much of its history, weightlifting has essentially been dominated by lore. By that I mean the old, when I first started weightlifting 40 years ago, that's right, I started when I was 6. 3 sets of 8. Now, there's no research on that. That's weightlifting folklore. And much of what guys did, sorry, girls too now, much of what people did in the weight room was based upon weightlifting folklore. Well, this is how the early pioneers did it. This is what they say you need to do. Only relatively recently have they done research on this to decide what are some of the best ways to build mass, muscle mass, to get into shape, what you need to do to avoid injury, quickest way to build strength, size, endurance, etc. Now, one of the debates is, well, how many reps do you need to do? Sorry, that's weight room talk for repetitions. Particular weight, how many times you got to do it? Typically, you'll hear 8 to 12. That seems to be the most common number, but that's not necessarily what everybody agrees upon. For example, there are those who say 30 reps with much lighter weight. The old notion was, well, you want to build power and size, you do heavy weights, lower reps. You want to build definition and endurance, you do lighter weight, higher reps. But there's some truth to that. So, you see people doing high reps, 15, 20, 25, to the point of exhaustion. The weight's light. When you first put the weight on, you feel like, geez, I can do a million of these things. And then you quickly find out that the lactic acid and the waste byproducts in your muscles build up and the neurological firing doesn't get through. There is a parallel here to gratitude. Huh? Stick with me on this. Stick with me. Unlike those of you who start into the weight room or the exercise room in January, and by February 3rd, you're gone. Which is the majority of you, by the way. What is gratitude? Is it a feeling? I feel grateful? How do you feel grateful? What is that? I don't know how I would define that. Gratitude's an action. And I believe it's a high repetition action. Small weights, multiple repetitions. For example, how aware are you that when you're walking, that's a gift? To be able to put one foot in front of the other and move? You ever say to God, thank you that I can do this, that I can walk? Thank you. You ever pull in late at night and you see the moon up in the sky and it's a waning gibbous? Yeah, that's about the only thing I remember from my astronomy classes when I was in college. It's beautiful. You see it going behind the clouds and the clouds coming in and out. You ever say, dear Lord, thank you. Thank you that I can see that. That I can appreciate that moon. That moon is there. Thank you. That, what, a sentence? Two sentences? But your goal is high reps. Give your kid a kiss goodnight and you walk out of the room. Thank you, Lord, for that little one. See, thank you, Lord, for that little one. Seven words. Very light, very light. You don't necessarily have to sit somewhere for half an hour and talk about all your gratitude. My son Andrew, the oldest, is a type 1 diabetic. Hit him when he was 19. A few years back, we had some of the extended family sitting around Thanksgiving table, and somebody came up with the idea, let's just all write down what we're grateful for. Everybody came up with, and things like that, sometimes the temptation is, you want to outdo the other person in your holy gratitude. You want to come up with something that is really pretty big in the grateful spectrum. I have people saying things, I'm grateful for salvation, I'm grateful for the Catholic Church, I'm grateful for the love of my spouse. Big stuff. Big stuff. So we wrote it down. Everybody went around, put it up. And we rated it, you know, as an 8.1 on the gratitude scale. My son Andrew, who was probably about 23, 24 at the time, held up his paper. On his paper, it said, insulin. Insulin. Insulin keeps him alive. Easily, he could die. Most people did. If they developed a problem with controlling their sugar, they died. As a matter of fact, a little bit of an aside here. Matter of fact, Andrew was, before our very eyes, wasting away. And, Andrew, are you losing weight? Oh, Dad, I'm at college, first year of college. I'm just not eating right. You know, I got to start eating better. Okay. And then I remember one time after a ball game, we were at Wendy's, and my brother said, look at Andrew. It's almost like he's getting shrunken because his shoulders were starting to rotate inward, and he was looking almost 12-ish. We were playing a softball game, and Andrew used to be a pretty decent softball player, and I noticed the last several games he was having a heck of a time getting the ball out of the infield. He couldn't hit it out of the infield, and his most recent game that he played, he misjudged a couple of routine fly balls, and he pulled himself out of the game about the fourth inning and just went and laid down, and he said, I think I have the flu. One morning I looked at him, I said, Andrew, get on the scale, please. It was 107 pounds. 107. At 5'8", young male. Took him in immediately. His sugar was 740. They didn't even know how he was walking. I digress. But Andrew said he was grateful for insulin. That's all he put. Just. How many people are grateful for insulin? I'm grateful for insulin. My insulin works. My body produces insulin. I'm grateful. You want to develop you want to be in fit, you want to have a good fitness level of gratitude, high reps. Find all kinds of things just to be grateful for and thank God in a sentence. Repetition, high repetition. It'll become part of who you are. You'll be aware of everything. Get in your car. Thank you, Lord. I got a car. Thank you. I have a car. Last night I was watching a show on EWTN, and this woman had this, I forget exactly what it was, but it certainly looked like a Catholic outreach. It was a facility that helped, did physical therapy, or sometimes just even provided a chance to get away from the hut where sometimes they were housed for hours at a time because these kids had cerebral palsy or epilepsy, and their day consisted of laying in a darkened room with no windows for hours at a time. And I watched that, and I saw all the ways. And she said it at the end of the show. She said, it's two different worlds. Because here I am sitting on my couch in a warm living room, sipping something with the image of these kids. And what I have that I forget to do repetitions on, I don't go in and exercise. Dear Lord, thank you that I can walk. Thank you that I'm here in northeastern United States. Thank you. High reps. Maybe 30 reps a day, you know? It'll put you in good shape. You'll have better stamina. 877-573-7825 is the number to call to get onto the program. 877-57-EQUAL. I'm Dr. Ray.
The doctor is in. Now, don't you feel better?
This is Dr. Ray Guarini, and I'm here to tell you about Catholic Answers' third annual National Apologetics Conference, happening in March 2016 in beautiful San Diego, California. The theme is Restoring Marriage Today, and with speakers like Bishop James Wall, Father Larry Richards, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris, and all of the Catholic Answers apologists, and me. You don't want to miss it. Take advantage of early bird pricing right now. Visit CatholicAnswersConference.com or call 1-888-291-8000 today to register.
This Ave Maria radio program is brought to you in part by St. Gregory Retreat Centers, the new standard for recovery. St. Gregory Retreat Centers offers substance abuse treatment options using traditional Catholic teaching about virtue and access to daily Mass and reconciliation, combined with the latest evidence-based practices in substance abuse. More information is available at 888-778-5833 or online at stgregoryctr.com.
Franciscan University of Steubenville is known nationwide for its academics and Catholicism, and for good reason.
With more than 40 majors and a curriculum that integrates faith and reason, Franciscan University delivers top-notch academics, campus life centers around Mass and faith households, and students can't wait for their semester in Austria to delve into their Catholic heritage. Discover a university that's academically excellent and passionately Catholic. Discover Franciscan University of Steubenville at franciscan.edu.
Today's programming on 990 WDEO is made possible in part by our day sponsor. In memory and honor for Morris Foley and Therese O'Connor, who were married on this day in 1948 at St. Rose's in Detroit. Children of Irish immigrants who came to the States for reason of faith, Maury and Therese did their best to instill the Catholic faith in their six children. May eternal rest be granted unto them, O Lord.
Dr. Ray Guarendi, the nine-time defending champion, Catholic Radio's Renaissance man. Yeah, it used to be Renaissance, but they changed it because I wanted so much. Renaissance. Dominating the humility competition. Outstripping all challengers in humility. Yeah, I know it. Some might say, wait a minute. That doesn't make sense, Dr. Ray. Bragging about your humility? I know. That's my point. 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL. Now, you know, I put my phone on vibrate when I do the show. And I look down here, and the phone vibrates, and I look to see, and I have certain caller ID, and I know who's calling. And this goes to show you how highly respected I am around here. The people who call me are usually friends and family members calling during the show. Apparently unaware. That's why I don't answer it. We have an anonymous caller, a father from New Mexico. Hi, anonymous father caller from New Mexico. How are you?
Hey, Dr. Ray, thank you for taking my call.
What is the substance of your little girl's expression?
So, over the past 6 months, every once in a while, we'll put her down at night, and 15 minutes after we put her down, she comes to us at night, and she says that she's having these terrible thoughts that she wants to kill herself. And you know, my wife and I, you know, we're not taking anything reactionary. We were, you know, talking with her, and you know, this it will happen every once in a while. Well, we don't think that she's suicidal. We don't think that she really wants to hurt herself or hurt us in the process. We think that instead she's being spiritually attacked, probably picking up on the stress from me at work. My wife is going back to school to finish her degree. And we try to have her go back to bed. You know, we'll pray the rosary with her, or she'll hold her rosary in bed, and we have her say prayers to St. Michael, or we have her think about a book that she's reading in school or something like that. But we wanted to see what you thought and see if we should be doing something different.
Does this every night?
No. This week, for example, the last couple nights she's come to us. We're a homeschooling family. We took a break for Thanksgiving. And she's also had a break in some of the extracurriculars, such as her piano and the dance class that she takes.
You notice any relation between something that happened during the day, some frustrating evidence, piece of incident where she was disciplined, or some girlfriend caught her in some drama or something, or she got frustrated because she couldn't complete her schoolwork on time, some connection between frustration and then she goes to bed and she ruminates?
Yes. I noticed in the last couple of days she had some headaches during the daytime. And I think that she's getting those headaches when she's stressed out.
So you got a sensitive kid. You got a hypersensitive kid.
And there's been a lot of added stress in my family, my extended family. There's been a recent falling out. There's just been some really mean things that siblings have sent my way. And so we really have had a very bad relationship with them. And
all right.
But we're trying to...
Let's do a couple things here. First of all, a legitimate, I think your instincts were right on there, Dad, a legitimate desire to commit suicide, to hurt oneself, under age 11 and 12, is exceedingly rare. Exceedingly rare, okay? Little kids seem to have this innate protection of wanting to actually deliberately hurt themselves.
So she shies away from the flu shot.
Okay. So, given that, a couple of things. Obviously, you look at the rest of her functioning. In other words, most days she's a happy-go-lucky kid. Most days she does okay. Most days she just is your typical nine-year-old. So you're not witnessing some kind of across-the-board depression. Two, if that's not there, you be careful about how much attention you're giving it. I always get suspicious when kids come out of their bed and their bedroom at night to seek their parents out with some kind of quote-unquote crisis. It seems to be a good way to avoid bed. Now, I'm not saying she's making it up. She could legitimately feel this way, but it has a little secondary effect, which is to get me out of bed, to get mom and dad's attention for the next 22 minutes as we talk about it, as we pray a rosary, as they read me a story, as they try to distract me. Okay, possibility. Throw it in your hopper. Three, reassure her that everybody has thoughts, and she's having these thoughts. You've noticed when something happens to her during the day that makes her feel bad, gets her upset. She has those thoughts. Those thoughts are just going through her head, that's all. It's like a bird flying over a chimney. The bird is there, but it keeps on going. And I think if you reassure her that everybody has thoughts like that that just go through their head, because your head always is thinking, and you can't necessarily stop it from thinking. So those thoughts, what you're doing here, Dad, is you're taking the fear that she's experiencing because of the thoughts. She doesn't want to hurt herself, I'm sure. However, she's afraid of those thoughts. Gosh, why am I thinking this? Gosh, why? What if they make me do this? Kind of thing. So if you tamper down the power of the thoughts by telling her from your big grown-up perspective that these kinds of things happen to everybody. They have these thoughts go through the head on all kinds of stuff. And she doesn't have to worry about them because they don't mean anything. Take that approach and see what happens there. Otherwise, if you want a further evaluation, you do it. If it looks like, in the rare case, that she's experiencing some kind of overall depressive episodes, but likely it's just her hypersensitivity to stuff. She's an overthinker. Thank you. Barb, South Bend, Indiana. Well, Barb, I will tell you, I did get some indigestion from what you did. And I had talked to my attorney about this. And he thinks that I have a very good chance of owning that station in South Bend. Now, I will tell you, if I do own it, I will still let all you folks work there, but not at what you're getting paid now. Hi, Barb.
Hi, Dr. Ray.
I remember the buffet you guys put out for me when I went there. It was nice of you.
See? When are you coming back?
When they invite me back, I guess. Oh, wait a minute. Well, I'd have to look at my book. There's a Marian conference or something and in Notre Dame. It's a big, big honking thing. Does that ring a bell?
You know what? I'm going to have to look that one up.
Check it up. Because I think they did ask me to come back on something like that. And if I do, then I can maybe do a show from your studio. But I distinctly remember, Barbara, now this... Okay, I'm not going to be peevish about this, but I just want to tell you one thing. I distinctly remember making a demand that those M&Ms have the greens removed with the reds cut in half. I remember that. I said,
no.
If I'm going to come and do the show...
No.
No?
Not for that show you didn't, but for this coming up show, I'll remember.
All right, thank you. Anyway, you gave me that. I think you gave me one of those packages of like 42 pounds.
Of each M&M peanut and plain.
Yeah, I had to take it out on a dolly. Holy.
Couldn't find almonds. I'm going to have to start collecting almonds now.
Well, and don't think I didn't remember. Bless you, Barb.
Have a good Thanksgiving.
All right, honey.
Have
a Thanksgiving to you, too. 877-573-7825. 877-57-equal. Dr. Ray. Give me a call. I'm thankful for your calls. I'm thankful for you guys. I'm thankful I can hear you.
Republicans, Democrats, no matter which political party is in office, there are always investment opportunities to be found. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds won't compromise the moral beliefs of its investors. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. The portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and moral values. Call toll-free 866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com.
Schwartz Investment Counsel, Inc., a registered investment advisor established in 1980, serves as an investment advisor. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. To obtain performance through the most recent month-end and a prospectus, which includes objectives, risks, fees, expenses, and other information that you should read and consider carefully before investing, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
The mystery of death has troubled and fascinated humanity since the beginning of time. Our own experiences of mourning deceased family members and friends teach us the deep longing of the human heart for hope in the face of death. Many Catholics have lost a clear sense of how to face this experience with faith and peace. Planning funeral services in advance is not only a gift to our family and friends, but it is an affirmative way to embrace our own call to resurrection. Please take this time to call your local parish or diocese about pre-planning your cemetery and funeral rites. This message brought to you by Catholic Management Services.
Now is a good time to begin thinking about Advent by making an intentional decision about how you'll prepare your heart for our new liturgical season. Our Lady of Grace bookstore has many wonderful Advent reflection books, calendars, wreaths, and candles to choose from. And while you're at the store, begin your Christmas shopping. We're chock full of meaningful, high quality, and special gifts for those you love. We're located in Ann Arbor at US 23 and M14 inside the Domino's Farms Office Park at Lobby C. Visit us at OurLadyOfGraceBookstore.com or Facebook for hours and directions.
Guys crashed in a private plane on a deserted South Pacific island. Both of them survived. One of them rushed up to the other guy and screamed, "This island's uninhabited. No food, no water. We're going to die." Other man kind of calmly leaned back against the wrecked plane, said, "No, we're not. I make over $100,000 a week." First guy grabbed his friend, shook him. "Hey, read my lips. We're on an uninhabited island. No food, no water. We're going to die." Other guy says, No, we're not. I told you I make over $100,000 a week." His friend said in his ear, yelling loudly, "For the last time, I'm telling you, there is no one else on this island. No food, no water. We are going to perish a slow death." His buddy looked over at him and said, "Don't make me say this again. I told you. I make over $100,000 a week. And I tithe. My pastor will find us." Phil from Aberdeen, South Dakota. Aberdeen, what a great name of a city. Aberdeen, that's like when the Westerns were really popular in the 70s. All of them. Everybody had a Western. Aberdeen was your basic Western city, along with Dodge City and Wichita and all those places. Hi, Phil.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Gotcha.
Okay. Yeah, Aberdeen's named after Aberdeen, Scotland. We had Catholic Irish nuns founded this town with a hospital and a school, and they thought the area looked like Scotland, so they named it after that.
They thought South Dakota looked like Scotland, huh?
Yeah.
They got
this area.
Mm-hmm. They got to get around more.
Cool. my friend has Parkinson's. I'm 55. He's a few years younger than me, and he got diagnosed about 2 years ago. And what's happening wrong with him now is he's getting that kind of a lethargy,
yeah,
right? To where he's
very slow.
Keeps
moving.
Asking his doctor for stronger and more painkillers, and he's a marijuana user. And he kind of stopped exercise, stopped being active. And I still visit him, but it's like Monday night football, and he lays there in kind of a stupor on his bed, and he just comments once in a while, you know, just grunts once in a while. So it's not much of a visit, to say the least, right?
Okay.
And I was wondering, in his condition, as his best friend, what can I do to help him? And also, I was wondering about what would your take be on if he was to take some hypnosis treatment?
Sounds like, Phil, just your presence.
And he's also got surgery coming up. They discovered some cysts on his testicles, and now he's got that stress.
Okay, so the guy. Sounds like, from what you're describing, he's sort of retreating from life. He's essentially saying, this is my state, and I can't do much about it, so I'll just slowly, slowly retreat. Your presence is probably the best thing you can do. Just be there. Be his buddy for the limited amount of time. If you visit somebody in a nursing home, for example, who is pretty far along in the dementia spectrum, they don't even know you're there half the time. So maybe you hold their hand. Maybe you just sit. They don't know you're there. Sometimes they don't even appreciate that you're there. But you are visiting. You're visiting, from a cognitive perspective, the least of these. That's what I would do for him. Just be present. It's nice of you to go. It truly is. You remember him in his healthier days. As far as these magazines, you have to understand they're very secular. So if you're a faithful Catholic, these are not something that you would enjoy reading, because they come from a moral perspective. They come from a life perspective. They come from an outlook that is, in many respects, diametrically opposed to Catholic morality, Catholic viewpoint, existence of God, surrender of the self. Those magazines are heavy that way. They very much appeal to the self. Many of them. I say most popular magazines now, the ones that are probably with some of the biggest circulations, feed into the self. The religious magazines, the thoughtful moral magazines, they scrape by on a shoestring, because by and large, we are much more interested in what fuels the self than what can make us better, faithful people. So, two questions, two two answers. Thanks, Phil. Thanks for taking care of your buddy. We got an anonymous caller from Oregon. I'm not quite sure, anonymous, sir, that I understand the question or the comment.
There's a renowned eye surgeon globally who is an eminence of an author. And one of the books that he authored is called A Prescription for Worry. You know, it's got the big R with a hind tail with an X on it.
Mm-hmm.
For worry. And he told his patients, he asked his patients, when was the last time you were thankful for your pancreas?
Hmm.
That it hasn't stopped working 24/7 since.
Like my son, who said he was grateful for insulin because his pancreas didn't work anymore.
And there's another doctor that I just heard yesterday who was devastated when she found out that her son had autism. But through some mystical insight, she felt that she became aware that he was going to be healed gradually, and it was very gradual. He couldn't even talk. And
Phil, what are you saying here? What are you saying here? What are you telling me?
The summary of this is illness, you know, was that thankfulness brings peace and joy.
Okay. Good thought. It does do that. Matter of fact, a friend just told me of a study that was on public radio where they said gratitude, people who have gratitude do a lot better in life. Of course, they didn't say gratitude to whom. You know, it's kind of this vague thing. Just be grateful. Dr. Rigg, be back.
The healthcare system is broken, and hope seems lost for us as Catholics who dream of a healthcare option that can meet the needs of our love for our dear faith. Imagine a new way to think about healthcare, based on principles of Christ-centered caring. There is a new solution, a revolution built on the love of Christ and Christian community. CMF Curo. This is Lewis Brown, director of CMF Curo, and I invite you to join the revolution at cmfcuro.com. That is cmfcuro.com.
The Doctor Is In is underwritten in part by Charity Mobile. Communication is critical, and in today's world, your cellular service is your lifeline to family and friends. Ave Maria Radio and Charity Mobile are partners in communicating the most important message of all, the good news of Jesus Christ. Charity Mobile is a provider of cellular LTE phones and service and has been a proud supporter of Ave Maria Radio and other pro-life causes for more than 10 years. More information at charitymobile.com. Charity Mobile. Charity begins at phone.
This is Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life. This week we observe Thanksgiving Day. We rejoice in the God who has given us life and freedom. The founding fathers of the United States of America were godly men who understood their dependence on God and the fact that He was the source of all their blessings. The single most frequently used source for their ideas and writings was the Bible. And they taught that the nation they were founding could never survive without the worship of God and adherence to His law. They did not believe in the kind of separation of church and state that some espouse today. In fact, the phrase is found nowhere in the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence. Rather, the Declaration declares our dependence upon God four separate times. Let's give thanks for our nation and for our faith. This is Father Frank Pavone on Ave Maria Radio.
Tell you're approaching middle age, maybe past middle age, upper middle age. When you look at your driver's license picture, and your thought is, you know, that's not a bad picture. Should have gotten some of those. Dr. Ray Garandi here. Thank you for joining me. I'm going to Sarah here in a minute. Before I do, a little shameless self-advertisement. The program is The Doctor Is In. Comes at you Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock Eastern Time. Co-production of EWTN, Global Catholic Radio, and Ave Maria Radio Communications there in Ann Arbor. Some 500-plus stations worldwide. 3-something domestically. Sirius Satellite, Channel 130. My website, drray.com, drray.com. But it is down, as I understand that the host is having all kinds of problems. Literally millions of people in big trouble. So if you're heading for the website, I don't know if it'll do you any good. Sarah, calling from Boston, Massachusetts. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Dr. Ray.
I got a simple answer to your question.
Great.
You can start disciplining a child very, very early. For example, if you're pregnant, tell him, go to your womb.
Okay.
All right. I was wondering if you were going to laugh, or were you thinking, I called this jerk? Wait, you laughed a lot harder when I said I called this jerk. I noticed these things.
Yeah.
Well, how old is this child that has the discipline question mark around him or her?
My daughter's 21 months.
Oh, that's old enough. That's plenty old enough. Now, the question becomes, what do you mean by discipline? I wouldn't really have her write an essay of apology. If you do, let her use a crayon and make sure she prints.
Okay?
Okay. And as far as doing extra chores, you know, like sweeping out the garage or changing the transmission fluid in the car, at this point, she'd probably do a very crappy job. So I'd probably wait till she's about 3 to do those. So, what do you do? She is probably well within the range of if A, then B. You know what I mean by that, Sarah?
That there's consequences for certain actions.
Yeah, sure. And she is not going to be able to think. See, parents will say, what if she doesn't understand? She flings something, and I go sit her on the steps, or I go put her in a playpen. Well, Dr. Reese, she doesn't understand that. She doesn't see the link. Sarah, do you have a dog?
No.
All right. Those folks listening that have a dog, if they're going to try to house train that dog, are they going to wait until the dog understands why he shouldn't pee on their carpet before they start to train him? No. Your little girl is not going to understand what you're doing. All she knows is if she does X, you do Y. That's all she knows. Nevertheless, that is the very beginning of discipline. It's the training aspect. Okay? I remember my oldest son was about 15 months when I first sat him on the steps. And he looked at me like, what the heck are you doing? What is this? Get out of my face! Okay? He didn't know. He didn't know what I was doing. Nevertheless, we did it. We made it stick. Now, my daughter, my last one, Lizzie, she's the 10th, I'm not as strict in my discipline. I basically told her the other day, quit smoking in the living room when I'm home. I don't think I ever sat her on the steps. Only when she set a fire in the shed, then I probably sat her on the steps for 2 minutes. But, you know. Nevertheless, your little daughter, if she's normal development, certainly sounds old enough to begin that whole process. And your discipline can be simple, Sarah. Doesn't have to be fancy. Sit her, put her in a playpen, put her in her crib, do something that you can make stick, Sarah. That's the big thing. I cannot tell you how many parents with kids your little daughter's age let that window slip by. So that when the child resists being placed somewhere, the parent doesn't know what to do. Parent doesn't.
Right.
They panic. The kid swings, or the kid gets up, or the kid melts down and rolls off the steps and keeps rolling down the hill, or whatever they're doing. And the parent's thinking, they won't stay, they won't stay, what do I do now? And because of that, you lose the ability to establish your authority at the time when it's most easy, this age. Our dog is a Rottweiler. He's 110 pounds. He could tear me up. He doesn't know that. Because when we got him as a puppy, he was big as a puppy. We got him as a puppy, I established I am the alpha male. I'm the boss, right below my wife. So given that, he cowers if I say, Tank, stop it. He cowers. He doesn't know. He wouldn't have to listen to me because we imprinted it way back. And you do that with your little girl, you'll save yourself a ton of discipline, stress, and frustration. Have you sat her somewhere yet?
We take her away from something if she's playing with something she's not supposed to. But there's not like one spot in the house that we've put her somewhere.
See, you're doing, Sarah, what a lot of parents do. It's called distraction. And it's what a lot of child development people would tell you to do. They would say, redirect your daughter. If she's going after the remote and she's eating it, redirect her. You know, and you do. You take the remote from her. Of course you do. You redirect. But you're also at the point where you can start putting a result on it. Because the interesting thing about redirection, it can work, but it takes a while. And furthermore, as she gets older, she's going to start to realize in her own unsophisticated way that nothing really happens. There is no consequence for throwing food on the floor. Mom just pushes her back away from the table for a minute or two. There's no real impactful consequence. So you're ready, my dear. But I will tell you this. You did miss the opportunity to start all this back when you were pregnant by telling her, you go to your womb right now, young lady.
Thanks, Dr. Ray.
Bless you, sweetheart. Thanks for the call. Bye. (clears throat) 877-573-7825. I do want to say this before I take the break. We had no one, not a person, not a single person, call and say, Dr. Ray, I'm grateful for you. Now, if that would have happened, I wouldn't have taken the call. That's not very humble.
Charity Mobile is the only pro-life mobile phone corporation. LifeSite News recently featured Corporate Watchdog Second Vote and their research of corporations that fund Planned Parenthood. The article concluded that only 7 corporations are ranked as being pro-life, while 234 corporations have abortion-supporting scores. Charity Mobile is one of the 7 pro-life corporations and the only mobile phone company. 5% of your monthly talk plan price goes to the pro-life charity of your choice, and there are no contracts, no termination fees, and no risk with your 30-day trial. Call 877-474-3662 or go to CharityMobile.com today. Mention Ave Maria Radio and get a free 4G LTE smartphone plus free activation and free shipping. Life is calling. Take it with you. Call 877-474-3662 or go to CharityMobile.com today. The following underwritten by Bugle Media.
I must do something.
Driven by her mission.
I must give my life to serve the poor.
Rejected by her community.
You can't help them all.
Sister Teresa cannot be allowed to leave the convent.
Challenged by her faith.
The letter she wrote documents the loneliness she endured over 6 decades.
From director William Reed, Juliet Stevenson, Max von Sydow, and Rutger Hauer.
I'm just a pencil in God's hand.
The Letters. Rated PG in theaters December 4th.
Heart, soul, mind, and strength. How can we love God with all of these? Discover how this Advent by accepting the 30-day challenge with 30 meditations in Father Bartunek's book, Seeking First the Kingdom from Ministry 23. This daily prayer resource will help you stay focused and motivated this Advent and beyond. Order your copy today by visiting CatholicWord.com. That's CatholicWord.com and receive 10% off using the coupon code ADVENT15.
I'm torn. On one hand, my self-centered temptation is to go to Kay from Dayton, Ohio immediately because she's going to compliment. On the other hand, the way she's phrasing her comment is very humble. And I don't like taking callers who show more humility than I do. But I'm going to risk it. Kay from Dayton, Ohio. Hi, Kay.
Hello, Dr. Ray. I just wanted to tell you I am grateful for you because if I had not called in my stubbornness about this whole annulment crap and had not taken the time to talk to me about it, I never would have taken my husband and I to the priest who in turn got everything taken care of and he was granted his annulment. And the irony of all of this, we were married 28 years ago on May 2nd in a Presbyterian church, and it happened on our anniversary that we then spoke our vows again on the same exact day at St. Pete's in Mansfield, Ohio, with Father Height, who's just awesome. So I just wanted to tell you thanks, because what you do really does make a difference in people's lives in a way that is beyond just, hey, my kid's acting like an idiot, you know, and
Kay.
Things like that.
K. In the words of the philosophy Barney Fife, philosopher Barney Fife, I can read you like a book. I know that you were put up to this call by Al Cresta, who was trying to trap me into acknowledging that this action of mine that somehow was involved in you doing something wonderful, I get credit for, which is not very humble. And he, I suspect, has been recording these calls. And when
it isn't that way. Yeah. It is. I just was in the car and I heard just the last little minute of what you were saying in the previous caller, and I thought I truly am grateful because my husband twice before, you know, started the annulment stuff. I didn't like what it made him have to go through, dragging up crap from his past, and I didn't want to put him through that. And I have just been a hard-hearted kind of person, and now through you being on the radio helped me to say, and I told my husband, if you don't want to go, that's fine, but I'm going to go talk to him. And then Dave came along, and it all is done. And it's amazing for my husband. It was like this weight lifted off of him for a bad choice that he made. Because
no, Kay, don't refer to yourself as a bad choice. You're not a bad choice.
Me.
I think you're a good person.
But I'm just saying, he didn't enter into marriage the first time around. And what we found out through the annulment, because she was married before he married her and never got an annulment, even though it wasn't Catholic.
Okay, I got to run to another call, but bless your heart for the sweet call. And I'm so glad that you got peace in your marriage and in your life. And you tell your hubby, your legitimate hubby, have a blessed Thanksgiving. Adriana from Napoleon, Ohio. Napoleon, Ohio is Americana. It is one of the most beautiful little towns I've ever been in. Hi, Adriana.
Hi, Dr. A.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. You now don't be gushy, all right? No gush here. Just send me a check.
Honestly, my family and I are thankful for you and your books and the advice you've given us in the TV show. The advice that the last TV show I was taping on was with you, she had given to me about people in my class that were saying things that were not appropriate.
Yes,
that I thought.
I remember you, sweetheart, and of course your dad is a friend of mine, and you had that guy that was kind of badgering you.
And then there, I did follow the advice she gave, and he's just like,
Hey, what? I am smarter than the average 16-year-old male. I am.
Yeah.
I'm probably equivalent to a 20-year-old male, which is pretty good. I mean, for husbands, that is off the charts. I want to, sweetheart, I want to thank you for coming to the show, and your daddy, he always comes, he always shows up, he's so faithful. And
Mama.
Then we will definitely see you again, and I still get your little emails that you send out to folks to help them have a brighter day. Thank you. What are you doing? Well, I'll let you go because I got to run to one more, but call me again. Thanks, sweetheart. Happy Thanksgiving. Gene from Cincinnati, he's got some help here. We had the caller who had a friend with Parkinson's, and he was going into bradykinesia, which is slow movement. Pretty fancy talk, huh? Sir, oh, it's a woman. A woman from Cincinnati. Okay. Gene spelled, you didn't spell it right, Joe. Hi, Gene.
Hi. My husband had Parkinson's for 20 years. He got it when he was 38. He died when he was 58. Anyway, the man that is visiting, I would say encouraging. Because a lot of people stopped coming to visit my husband after 10 years because he was in bed. He didn't talk a lot or very little, but he gave me a thought that I will never forget. He told me he had the gift of time. My husband had a doctorate degree and two master's degrees. He was a teacher, a professional musician. He was principal. But he said, what is important is people and family and prayer. And that's what my husband did a lot. I got him the radio reading services. I got him book on tapes. I changed the artwork in his room to keep his mind stimulated. But he loved visitors, even though he couldn't talk to them.
Gene, thank you.
Sure helped the caregiver also.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Thank you. We have to let you go because the clock is a tyrant. Blessed Thanksgiving to all of you. Work on those repetitions of gratitude. Do that. Thanks, Andy Krupczyk. Thanks, Joe. Thanks, EWTN. Habe. Walk with God, hold your kids tightly by the hand, and be grateful for that little hand.
The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
You can learn a lot about a university when you see what stands at its center. At the heart of Franciscan University of Steubenville stands Christ the King Chapel, a visible sign that Jesus is Lord over our spiritual life, campus community, athletics, and our academic community, where professors help students develop a passion for knowledge and truth. Discover a university that's academically excellent and passionately Catholic. Discover Franciscan University of Steubenville at franciscan.edu.
Today's programming on 990 WDEO is made possible in part by our day sponsor. In memory and honor for Morris Foley and Therese O'Connor, who were married on this day in 1948 at St. Rose's in Detroit. Children of Irish immigrants who came to the States for reason of faith, Maury and Therese did their best to instill the Catholic faith in their six children. May eternal rest be granted unto them, O Lord.
This is Advent in the year of St. Paul. On our program this week, Sister Ann Shields talks about preparing our hearts for the Lord, and Dr. Peter Williamson begins an extended series on the scriptures written by St. Paul.
Well, Pope Benedict has declared this year the year of St. Paul in commemoration of his birth 2,000 years ago. The Apostle Paul